It's on. Well, amen. You know, I wanted to sing. I had the benefit today. I'm preaching today. If you didn't notice, today's Andy. And if we remember, as Dwayne taught us last week, see if we remember this. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. That's an important, incredible thing for us as we move forward. I thought I'll just leverage off that and what John's been preaching on in 1 Peter. So, and then, you know, as I have the benefit of picking songs, I thought, you know what, I need to sing the He Whom the Son Sets Free song. Because I was joking with Kelly, I said, I'm going to be preaching from the most popular book of the Bible to get sermons from, Leviticus. Are you excited? Maybe even some little Deuteronomy in there. You know, the books of the law. I thought, yeah, that's great. That's a great way to have sermons. Let's go straight to Leviticus and then maybe switch over to Deuteronomy and use some of those for us. But we'll talk a bit about that. So, I am not my own. I was bought with a price. I am Christ's. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. That's who I am. Are you with me? You're a new covenant Christian? All right. Put that first slide up there, Luke. Today we're going to talk about a holy life. And as we've been in 1 Peter and we've gone through for weeks, this idea of justification, sanctification, and glorification. And this sanctification process is where we're at. And if I were to look at this, hopefully this works. Click. It's on. There we go. 1 Peter 1, there was a key phrase in this when what we were probably maybe a month ago, 2 months ago when we were here. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. But you, like the Holy One, who called you, be holy yourselves, key, in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That your behavior is key, because if we go, I always like to look at definitions. So holy, what does this word holy mean? Well, technically it means dedicated, consecrated to God, sacred. And if you look at the Kadosh and Hagios, it means set apart and distinct. So when God says I'm holy, he says I am different. I'm distinct. I'm dedicated and consecrated. And when he calls you, you to be holy, as I am holy. Because that word holy means he's calling you to be set apart and distinct. And that's key to holy. But, you know, when I actually asked my high school class a couple weeks back, what's holy? And it means sinless. And so I thought, is it an or? And it's not an or. Does holy mean that you're, you know, morally pure? Or does holy mean set apart, distinct? And the question is the wrong question. It's not an or question. It's an and. It's because. It's because you're morally pure and because he's sinless that is part of his set apart, consecrated, sacred. So therefore, when the declaration we hear in 1 Peter said, just as it was written, you are to be dedicated, consecrated, set apart. Just as I am consecrated, set apart. What do we do with that? Well, I have notes. I guess I should look at them. Have I covered everything yet? Yes, so far. So right at this point, it doesn't just mean moral purity. It's both. Because of your moral purity, and because of his election of you, where we're currently in 1 Peter, you are a holy race, chosen generation, royal priesthood, a peculiar people that have called forth to sing the praises of him. Peculiar, you know, there's no Fred here. If I were to say Fred, Fred's a peculiar guy. What is that thing? You know, why would I say, oh, Fred, he's a peculiar guy? Well, because he's different. And you're called to be different. How are we called to be different? Especially in all your behavior. So I want to take a moment. This actual scripture, if I go back, right? Because it is written. Well, where is it written? It's actually written in a number of places, but this particular reference is from Leviticus chapter 11. And Leviticus chapter 11 is the chapter where he goes over the clean and unclean animals. And we're not going to read all of it today, but if I were to look at the, you've heard this, you know, hopefully if you've been around, you know the idea of the clean animals, right? That says, you shall eat the animal that has the cloven hoof and choose the cud, right? And you're not to eat the animal that only has choose the cud or has a cloven hoof. And it lists this. And then it says, you can eat the things from the water that have fins and scales, but everything else don't eat. Of the birds that fly, you can eat all the birds that fly other than the eagle, the carrion, the vulture, the whatever. And it lists this idea of this. And at the end of it, he says, in Leviticus, you get, so we've gone all the way through all the 43 verses of this is what you can eat, and this is what you can't eat, and this is what you can eat, and this is what you can't eat. And you get to the end, he says, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make for yourselves unclean. You shall not make yourselves unclean with any swarming things that swarm on the earth. For I am the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt to be your God, and thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. So if we look at this, why did the God spend all this time saying, here, eat this and don't eat that? Because holy means distinct, separate, set apart. He was taking his people. Remember, I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. I'm God's people. And from the Leviticus, we look at one of the things he said is, I'm going to do some special things with you. You're going to eat differently. Why? Well, how many times a day do you eat? My teenage boy, about 9, right? And every other day, the girls eat 9 times a day. I think boys eat 9 times every day. Girls eat 9 times every other day. I don't know why. That's just the way it is. But he said, I'm going, in his wisdom, he said, I'm going to make what you eat different. Why? You eat every day. And every morning when you start to eat, you're saying, oh, I need to eat the clean items because I'm God's. And at lunch, time to eat, I'm going to eat the clean items because I'm God's. At dinner, you're going to eat, I'm going to eat the clean items because I'm God's. And the people looking at these weird Hebrews, like, they're weird. They're peculiar. They don't eat certain things. Why? Well, they didn't know, but the reason why, I'm going to make you separate, consecrated, set apart from the rest of the nations. Now, there's all kinds of layers to this onion, right? We're going to get through that. But if I think through Old Covenant versus New Covenant, did Jesus tell us to be distinct and set apart and have some type of badge? I think there's one. John 13 says, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. He says, let your light so shine before men that you'll see your good works. He said, keep your conduct honorable among men. And then I actually, 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the Lord from pure heart. So our God still says, you are holy. You're going to be set apart. You're going to be peculiar. What does that mean? So as we move along, I do want to take just a moment just to reinforce, because anytime I go back and we start talking, you know, Leviticus, it's like, Deuteronomy 19 says, you know, it says, you should, if I recall, I'm going to paraphrase, you know, don't put any tattoo marks on your body, don't cut yourself, don't trim the sides of your beard, all these things. Like, we don't do that. We're not under the regulations of the law. So as a new covenant, we are not under the old covenant. We are new covenant Christians. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We are not under the old covenant. What we are is Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we look at Old Testament, and you know, if we were to go back and start reading through, you know, first off, if you recall, there was the vision of Peter that the sheet came down with all the unclean animals on it. And in the vision, the Lord said, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter said, oh, no, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm not going to eat. I've never eaten any unclean thing. And what God said, what I have made clean is clean. Rise and eat. So I enjoy my bacon. Amen? Good servant. I tell my wife, if we're going to eat something that has one of these three B's in it, I'm good. If it has butter, brown sugar, or bacon in it, I'm excited. And if you put all of them together, oh, it's heaven. So, or a little taste of heaven. Anyway, I'm going off on food. But again, when we look at the Old Testament, we have to realize we are not under the regulations, or those regulations do not apply. It's like playing, I'm going to use my sports analogy, Tracy. Show me, don't use the sports analogy. You'll lose half the people, but Mick's going to let me use a sports analogy. It's like we're over here in the field house, and we're all playing basketball, right? Great, playing basketball. And then someone blows a whistle, puts up a volleyball net, and says, let's play volleyball. Let's use the same ball. And so I'm in the same place with the same people doing the same things with the same ball, but we're suddenly going to play volleyball. Okay, the regulations of dribbling don't apply, right? It's a different covenant. Does that analogy help? Does that confuse you all? Okay, so Andy said we're playing volleyball. Yeah, and new Christians are playing volleyball. If we are Hope White's on my team, where is she? I want Hope White on my team. Okay, so anyway, we are New Testament folks. But Hebrews 13 says something very important for us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The God of the Old Testament is our God of the New Testament. God didn't change. God's heart didn't change. God's desires didn't change. That's why Peter can quote Leviticus 11 and says, you Christians, new Christians, in all your behavior, be holy because God made you holy. You're going to be set apart. You're his possession. Your behavior is holy. And remember, set apart, consecrated, distinct. A lot of the reason is not just because he called me that, but because in all of your behavior, you will be holy. So, when I read Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all these sorts of things, I have to understand it's the same God. And I read those regulations to see what's the heart of God. What did God want for his people? Because he loved Moses. And he loved Joshua. And he loved Ezra. And he loved even Peter when he was under the old covenant until Jesus on the cross said these famous words, it's finished. Right? The old covenant's over. Completed it. We're new covenant people. So I want to make sure, because sometimes we get off the track. Well, I got to go read, you know, I got to start trimming my, Vern, I got to start not trimming the side of my beard now. And so, no, we're not under the regulations, but it's the God. It's the same God when we read the scripture. What's the heart of this God we're after? And when he calls me to be holy and distinct and set apart for him, right? Remember, I'm taking my people and making them holy, setting them apart, so that they're beautiful. So we're going to look at a holy life. One of the things that I told you that, you know, I was going to do both Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Leviticus 11 is the 40 some odd verses of grueling, you know, here's the animals you can eat, here's the animals you can eat. Guess what? It's repeated in Deuteronomy 14. So it's there twice. And in Deuteronomy 14, it has the same idea, and it says, it's restated, and it deals with the clean and the unclean, and it, you know, there's this idea, it details the animals and the fish and the birds that you can and cannot eat. If you look at that, like why were some animals clean and some not? I'm going to give you a generalization. The animals that shed blood to eat were unclean. So all the carnivores, anything that would shed blood to eat, unclean. Anything that would eat something already dead, unclean. It's like the fish. He said, the fish of the sea, the things in the ocean, you can eat things with fins and scales, but everything else in the ocean is unclean. Why? Because what it eats and where it lives. A fish, when a fish eats it, right? It swallows the thing. It doesn't shed the blood. It just swallows the other fish. Thank you very much, right? But a lobster starts tearing it apart. Shrimp eats the gunk off the bottom. You know, shrimp are the cockroaches of the ocean, right? I also love, I'll eat shrimp wrapped in bacon. They're really good. But there's this idea of what is abominable versus clean. What is unclean and clean? There's this concept of, well, what that thing eats and lives makes it unclean. So he said, don't eat the things because the blood matters. Some of the regulations said, when you kill something, drain the blood out immediately and eat the flesh. He said, do not consume the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. We are a bloody religion, right? It is about blood. Blood inside the body is life, but blood outside the body is death. My nurse daughters would tell me that one, right? You lose too much blood, it's bad news. So, but this idea of these animals where, okay, I read this and I get it. Herbivores, right? Those are good. We eat, those are the clean animals, but the things that crawl around in the gunk or eat or shed blood, right? It said the birds. You can eat all the birds, but don't eat the eagle, the vulture, the hawk, all those things kill and rend the thing apart to eat it. It's about the blood. It's about the blood. Okay, great. And as I'm reading through Deuteronomy 14, you get through the end, and then it starts and says, you shall not eat any abomination, and then it lists the thing, good or bad, good or bad. And then you get to the end, just as, you know, Leviticus summed it up. Do this because I'm holy. And then at the end of 14, it has this. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. Kind of sums it up. Eat clean and the unclean. You are the holy people. And then it adds this sentence. You shall not boil a young goat in the mother's milk. I'm like, huh? Sure, there must have been some scribe back in BC time when he's writing, oops, I forgot one. Wrote it in there. Is that what he did? You know, is this a oops? I should have stuck it up earlier in the regulation list, or is it? Because this is at the end of all the what's clean and unclean, and he says, "Here's what's clean: you shall eat the clean animals, not eat the unclean animals. You are a holy people to my God. I'm setting you aside. I'm making you distinct." Let me sum it up. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Secret to cleanliness, secret to God's heart. Don't boil, in some versions, as a kid. Sometimes I boil your kid and mother's milk. But if I were to sum it up, God's intent for my people, what makes you clean and unclean, it's this sentence. Do not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. You're dismissed. Good enough. Does that get it? I guess I should probably go into this particular phrase just a little bit. A young goat is considered an infant. Dr. Wheeler always gives us cow stories, right? Newborn calf, right? The newborn calf, if it doesn't have its mother, what happens? It dies, right? Yeah, I think you had twins a couple while back, and now Justin, sorry, you're the mother of that calf. You're feeding that calf. But if a young goat, lamb, calf, whatever, what's it need? What's the only thing it needs for life? It's mother's milk. Milk in the scriptures is about life. What do you do? It says, if I were to kind of paraphrase, do not cook or kill something in the thing that's supposed to give it life. This sentence, in a very poetic fashion, is like if we were reading some poet. I've always hated that in high school. Sorry, my daughter's an English teacher. But, read the poem. What's the poem mean? I don't know. It said something about, you know, a tree and whatever. Oh, it means life. Really? It's a tree. But this one is one of those, God said, don't boil a young goat in its mother's milk. From a kosher deli standpoint, speaking about eating bacon, right? You know, one of the most unkosher things is biscuits and gravy. Why? Milk and meat. Milk and meat together. If you were to go to, I actually had a friend who was at a kosher restaurant, at a Jewish restaurant in New York, and they had steak. And they were eating and had the steak. It was great. And at the end, they had some coffee in there after dinner, eating coffee. And he asked the server, could I get some cream for my coffee? And the server was like, I'm sorry. We serve beef tonight. There'll be no milk in the restaurant because of this one item. So they took that regulation, like you don't put, so if you want to be completely unkosher, you'll have biscuits and gravy with a side of bacon. That's great, great, great Ozark breakfast, because we are new covenant people. We're not under the regulations of that. But what does this mean? It means don't mix the things of life with the things of death. If we go back and look at the animals, the things that shed blood to kill, or shed blood to eat, don't eat those. Unclean. Why? You're people of life. Don't eat the things that kill. You're a person of life. That's unclean. So I look at this. This is basically God's way of saying, you are a holy people. You shall be holy to me. How are you going to be holy? You don't mix the things of death with the things of life. You are my people of life. I bought you with a price. Okay. So we're going to come out of the Old Testament. We're new covenant Christians. We're declared, we're admonished and encouraged. You will be holy as I am holy. Doesn't matter what we eat. What does matter? What matters is you shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. What does matter is you are people of life, and you don't mix death with life. What does that mean? Let's take a few examples. TVs, computers, smartphones. Completely non-moral devices. They're just a hunk of machinery. When you use your TV, computer, smartphone, is it bringing life? Are you mixing life and death together? Are you being holy? He calls you to be holy. Okay, what's that non-moral hunk of machinery doing? Is it bringing life? Are you mixing death in with your life? That's not holy. A couple other examples. I'll take physical relationships. Are you mixing life and death together? God has one plan for intimacy. That's life. Holy people, what's that look like? And I'm going to throw an even deeper stone on that one to say, to remind us that in Matthew 5, Jesus said, if you even look onto someone as to commit adultery, you've committed adultery in your heart. Are we holy? Are we mixing life and death? We need to be holy people. Your money. What's your money used for? Is your money something that's bringing life to your life because God has, you've been blessed with something and you're using it to bless others? Or is it something that is causing death, the root of all sorts of evil, is the love of money? Do you love money or do you love God? Are you holy people? Are you mixing death with life? That's not holy. He wants you to be holy. And then I've got a couple more. One that I'll deal with, and then one that I'll probably get fired over, but that's okay. Probably the biggest thing for us in our holiness. What goes into the mouth doesn't matter. Remember the scripture says, what is in the mouth, talking about eating clean and unclean. What goes into the mouth doesn't matter. It goes in the stomach, is eliminated. That's not the thing. What comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Is your tongue doing life, holy Christian? Amen. Are you mixing death and life with your tongue? James 3 says, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and our Father, life, and with it we curse men, death, who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Holy people, what's your tongue doing? Are you killing the kid with his mother's milk? That thing that's supposed to be giving life? Are you killing with it? Yeah, we are. So we need to make sure we're dealing with people of life. Then the one last one, I'm going to go there. Just because I guess I'm a preacher, I'm supposed to say things to step on your toes. Life and death, holy people, Christians. The holidays we celebrate, by definition, holy days. Right? Why are you celebrating holidays and what are you dealing with it? So as a new covenant Christian part of God, it says, you shall be holy as I am holy, and you're going to be a person that celebrates life and stays away from the things of death and sin. I celebrate Christmas. It celebrates the gift of Jesus. I celebrate Resurrection Day called Easter. It celebrates what Jesus is about, the whole purpose of my new covenant. I celebrate the 4th of July. I celebrate my country. I'm giving honor to my country. I celebrate all these things. But now, when October comes around, folks, there's an event that is called a holiday that has nothing holy about it whatsoever. I'm here to declare to you, Christian, Halloween is not a Christian celebration. Halloween is celebrating evil, the whole purpose of it. Go look at it. So, I'm going to step on your toes. Stop celebrating Halloween. Oh, but my kids want to dress up. Dress them up another day. They don't get any candy. They get too much candy already. The rest of the world does. That's exactly right. The rest of the world does celebrate Halloween. It's the number two spent. There's more money. Only Christmas exceeds it in the amount of money and time people spend on this stupid thing of Halloween. Christian, are you mixing death and life together? Are you compromising, saying, you know, it's just a holiday. It's just a holiday by definition. Holy day, really? No. Purpose of Halloween, celebrate evil. Christian, you don't do that. My extended family doesn't understand us. They keep sneaking the kid candy. We want to give them some candy because here's the Halloween candy because I know you're not going to go out and get trick-or-treated, so I'm going to give you some on the backside so you can, you know, have candy like everyone else. They don't need candy. What they need is a pure heart. What they need is the love of the Father that said, I purchased you. I bought you with a price. You're mine. You're a holy people. You will be holy as I am holy. If Jesus was here, would Jesus celebrate Halloween? Pretty sure the answer is no. So anyway, okay, that was my, I'm getting fired. I probably won't preach again now. So you can wipe your toes off. I stepped on them. In confession, as a young kid, I celebrated Halloween. Every year I dressed up as a pirate. I always wanted to dress up as a pirate. Celebrated Halloween. I did. It was out of ignorance. It's just what we did. But I looked at it and thought, you know what? That has no value for my Lord. So anyway, okay, that's enough of that one. Okay, all right. But we'll come back to the tongue. We need to use our tongues. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. You are a holy people. How do you interact with your loved ones? Is your tongue blessing them or killing them? Are you using the same tongue? Are you cooking a kid with your mother's milk? Or the same thing that's supposed to bring life, these encouraging words, these things of love, the words that come out of our mouth, are you boiling the kid with that milk? These things ought not to be. Our tongue is the thing that is probably, like the other scripture, I'm going to paraphrase, how great a forest fire can be lit by one spark. You know, it's like the rudder of a ship. Your tongue is this thing that controls your heart, or it manifests your heart, actually, because from the mouth the heart speaks. So we are a holy people, called to be holy. And holiness is summed up with you don't use the thing for life, the thing that was meant for life, you don't use it for death. Careful your tongue. should be blessing. Blessing your Lord, not cursing your Lord. Forgive us. Speaking blessing to your spouse and friends, not cursing your spouse and friends. Parents, your children, the words you say matter. It is evidence of our evidence of our heart. So I would say, what is the holy life that you're after? I stand before you as one that, you know, I'm being sanctified. Let's just say that, right? The Lord is working on me. I am justified in Christ. I am in the sanctification process. I use my tongue for death. I speak things that shouldn't be spoken. Forgive me, Lord. I use the television. Stuff comes across the television that shouldn't be seen. There's some households, they just got rid of the television. That's not the step I'm going to take, but some did. What is your holy life, Christian? First off, let me say, are you justified? Remember, there's the bookends. You're justified and glorified and sanctified in the middle. That's the life of Christ. Are you justified? We stand here this morning. We sang that song, I Believe. Do you believe? Jesus is Lord. Do you believe that He rose from the dead? If you do those two things, you come to the justified side. I'm saved. Now I'm sanctified. Christian, what does sanctification look like? What is the process of sanctification? Well, the Lord's going to have lots of things for you. He's going to encourage you. He may encourage you with some chastisement. Whom the Lord loves, He disciplines and chastises. Those are two different words. Discipline is to train you. Chastise is to punish you. Not to an eternal punishment, but He's going to chastise you and take you to the back shed and may give you a little chastisement. He whom the Lord, if you're not being chastised by God, you're not His. Holy life. You will be holy as I am holy. I walk in the things of life. I revel in things of life. The beauty of God's love and life. I let my light shine before men so they'll give glory to the Father in heaven. Walk with life. Speak with life. Have your whole all aspects of your life being holy. You're called to be holy. You're called to say, remember it says in the 1 Peter says, and let all of your behavior be holy, just as it's written. You shall be holy, because holiness is being separate, distinct, and peculiar. But you're separate and distinct and peculiar because of your behavior. Both go together. The fact that I am called out, I am separate, I'm in God's family, and I'm being sanctified, and my behavior is validating this holiness He has. Because He calls us to do that. Let your light shine. Be above reproach. You shall be holy as I am holy. Amen? We would love to, if this is foreign words to you, I have no idea what you're talking about. We'd love to say, let me talk to you about how to come out of darkness into life, how to be justified because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're in sanctification, what's your call now? You may need to repent. We all need to repent. And say, help me, Lord. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Right? Our God is the one that's going to do it. This is not I can work up enough energy. It's let me lay myself on God. He's the one that makes me holy and understand what His call in my life is. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We're thankful to you that you are a gracious and loving God. We thank you that you made a way. And we do believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of our lives. And Father, I pray everyone in this room either confesses you as Lord. And if we've done that, Father, I pray each of us would walk in a way worthy of the calling you put in front of us. Your will be accomplished, Father. We do continue to pray for those who are maybe even now calling out in Florida, Father, because of the distress of this storm. It's a physical manifestation of the storms in our life, where some of us may be here with storms in our life that we don't see. Be gracious to us all. Be the God of comfort you said you are. And may your will be done in all we do. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.